RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
What if I was to say to Mark Hooper, Federated Farmers RMA reform spokesperson, the RMA needs to go, and is it killing New Zealand farmers? I wonder what the answer would be. Well, let's find out. Mark Hooper, Federated Farmers RMA reform spokesperson, joins me now. Mark, thanks for coming back on RCR and answer my question, please.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Great to be back.
And?
Yeah, so, that's probably a pretty good summary, actually, but I guess the extension to that is that it's not only killing farmers, it's killing New Zealand as a whole in terms of our economy. Effectively, the RMA system that we have at present is fundamentally broken. The processes, they're too expensive, they're too time-consuming, and they're too unpredictable. And it's really slowed down the ability to, get good functionality. And the other thing is, of course, is that we're just needing resource consents for far too many things. So recent data released for the 22-23 year on the MFE website shows 36,000 resource consents processed in that year. So that would suggest that we're needing to get these expensive, time-consuming, unpredictable resource consents for far too many things. You know, a resource consent should be for things that are perhaps out of the ordinary, that bring an extraordinary environmental risk. Otherwise, there's no reason why a lot of these activities can't be included as permitted activities in a lot of the plans and things that we've got. But they're not. The councils are really risk adverse, so they're requiring a huge number of resource consents, and that's just slowing down the ability to get stuff done. And also the consents are required for what would otherwise be, particularly from a farming perspective anyway, would be regarded as day-to-day farming activities as opposed to, an outstanding or unusual activity that might be being requested to be getting done.
Yeah, I think the history of the RMA, and we're going back to 1991, I believe, was to promote sustainable management of New Zealand's natural resources. Is there any evidence that anything has been achieved there?
Well, I think if we do go back to 1991, there's a couple of things there. And one is that at that time it was portrayed, I guess, as world-leading legislation in the sense that it brought together somewhere around about 50-odd pieces of legislation at the time and pulled them all together in a single act that was supposed to be simpler and more easy to operate. And so the intention was there, and the intention was good. And it started out, it was based around, a framework of what we would call the four well-beings, that it needed to provide for environmental, economic, social, and cultural outcomes. And so in that sense, it sort of started off well. But over the past 30 years or so, I guess now we would say it's pretty hard to call it world-leading because nobody's followed that pattern anywhere else around the world.
Right.
That would be the first thing. The second thing is that it's had something like 18 major amendments in that time. And so the complexity of that original intent has escalated each of those amendments. And what started out as being, kind of 300 pages of law has exploded out to over 800 pages of law. And it just really seems to have got us bogged down where it's too difficult to get anything done now.
Can you give us some examples on the farm? Every time you have to turn around, you're having to get a resource consent. What are some of the things that you'd have to do that for?
Yeah, well, some of the big ones, that there's actually a bill going through the House at present. It's called the RMA Amendment Bill. So there's the current government is making some amendments to try and speed up and get rid of some of those rules that aren't working at present. And some of those are a classic example of what you're asking there. So one of the ones that's getting amended and has been in the news quite a lot is around winter grazing rules. So winter grazing is the process of feeding livestock on a crop over the winter period. And it's really critical part of a farming system, particularly in the lower South Island. And it's an area that, because of changes to the RMA, and particularly in that case, changes around national policy statements for fresh water, national environment standards, you know, you ended up having to get a resource consent to do a lot of winter grazing if you didn't meet certain conditions, and they were very broad conditions. So there were a lot of resource consents required. So that's an example of a functional day-to-day farming activity that most people in the lower South Island have to do in one form or another, and they were requiring to get a resource consent for. The problem was, is of course that there's already industry good plans as to how you should best operate in that regard, and it tends to be self-policing too, because neighbours are sort of looking out for people. There's always some people at the bottom of the heap that don't do things quite so well, and a lot of their fellow farmers are calling them out and saying, "Hey, you know, you need good processes." But effectively, you know, all the resource consent was that you ended up just having to get another expensive piece of paper to do something that you were going to do anyway as part of a normal farming activity.
How expensive, Mark? How expensive is expensive?
Yeah, so this is the other issue is that the current system that we have means that if you apply for a resource consent, anybody anywhere can appeal that, and even if they're not directly affected by it. So it's just to get a normal resource consent, perhaps for an effluent discharge or a winter grazing consent or something that might be part of a normal practice. You know, you might be looking at, you know, $1,000 or so. So, you know, not substantial, but suddenly you find that you get challenges around this, or the starts adding layers of complexity. It gets appealed in some way, and then the costs just start spiraling out of control from there. So that's where it goes back to what I said at the beginning. There's a high level of risk. They're expensive, they're time-consuming, and they're unpredictable. And this is part of that unpredictability that, you know, you can end up with the resource consent kind of ballooning out of control, and that's where the costs really start to mount up.
Is that why authorities are risk-averse? You said risk averse.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great money-making opportunity at the same time. But where does that adversity to risk?
Yeah. So the issue there is that the councils, whether they're depending on the nature of the consent required, whether it's a district council or a regional council, in the case of environmental issues on farm, it's generally regional councils. They are required to process and approve these resource consents, but they don't necessarily get any of the benefit as such. So it's just a part of the way that local government is formed in New Zealand, and this is, I guess, a wider issue, is that if you're applying for a resource consent for, say, infrastructure or urban development or something like that, you would anticipate, and even if it's a farm consent, you know, you're anticipating that people are doing that for productivity reasons. And so there's benefits with development and infrastructure and stuff because it brings productivity into an area and a community and helps to drive growth. But the way that the funding mechanism for councils is that they don't get any of the direct benefit. They don't generate any tax income or whatever the case might be from that. Their income's only from rating. So they carry the risk in terms of approving these, but they don't necessarily get the benefit. So they tend to be very risk adverse in making sure that, you know, they've kind of ticked off all the boxes, because they're the ones that then could get challenged through their appeals process and it end up at the Environment Court, and the council is potentially in the gun. So that really slows down the process as well, because, you know, they're taking a very cautious approach. They've got a big backlog. It takes them a long time to produce, process those consents. And hence, again, we just get a slowdown in the whole economy.
Yeah, you bring up a far bigger point with the way the money works, because rating is capped, and we know that, and times are tough, so there's even more pressure under that cap. You want economic growth and opportunities to spring up in your area because that's good for the health of the area, but you get no benefit. So really what you're, it's bigger than the RMA, isn't it? You need to kind of design a new way of distributing revenue from areas back into the area somehow. I don't know how you do it, through local taxation or whatever, but that's, does that issue sit above this almost?
Yeah, well, just I guess to bring your listeners up to speed, at the moment, the new government is working through a process around RMA reform. It started back before Christmas when they repealed the Natural Built Environment Act that the previous government had passed late in their term. And, you know, from our perspective, that was a good move. We felt that that added more complexity instead of solving some of these problems. Then they introduced the fast-tracking legislation, and that was to kind of overcome some of the problems that we've just discussed, and get some of the projects of national significance underway to help drive some productivity. Third process is they've introduced the bill that I just mentioned before that's currently in the House, RMA Amendment Bill 1. And so that's making some immediate changes to the RMA that are causing problems, particularly in the farming area. That's around areas like stock exclusion, winter grazing, SNAs, and the application of Te Mana o Te Wai in terms of the decision-making process. And then the kind of final step in that process is a complete remake of our resource management system. So ultimately a full replacement of our current RMA. And that's where the biggest opportunity is, to look at some of these high level kind of issues and try and incorporate them into a new RMA Act. And one of the principles that we would advocate for in that process is that a new RMA is more responsive to democratic processes, particularly at a local level. So that there's a greater level of direct accountability for our elected councillors in terms of the plan making process. And so therefore they become more responsive to some of these issues. That's only a start. I guess in addition to that, you know, you've got to look at what the funding mechanism also is for local government. And so a further reform in that area. And that's something that we've also raised with Minister Simeon Brown. And he's very interested in feedback on how that could look going forward as well.
Well, everything has its time, doesn't it, in the end?
We're certainly hoping so. And I guess right at the moment, the way that parliamentary processes work is that there's a narrow window to introduce a wholesale change of the RMA and get that through the parliamentary process before the end of the current government term. And we think that it's quite important that we get some relatively fast movement on that. So hopefully the timing is now.
Okay, so maybe tweaks in the meantime, but a new system at some point. And that can't be, I'm thinking, but what do I know, too far away. We can't be hamstrung, because no one wants to pollute anywhere, right? But people want to get things done, don't they? And they don't want to be sort of fighting all this friction and resistance. And I would imagine that if local communities can benefit more, even in a revenue sense, hey, you don't even need to pay for this application. It sounds so good, or we're going to take a positive attitude to at least hearing, and they'll be encouraging. But again, what do I know?
Yeah, you know, no, that's a really good point around the environmental protection side of it, and nobody's wanting to override that, and certainly not from a farmer perspective. There's some really good initiatives happening around, on-farm protection of Indigenous biodiversity, Obviously, there's a really big focus around fresh water quality at this point in time. And so every effort has been made to do those things and to get some really good outcomes. It goes back to what I said earlier about the four well-beings, and environmental is top of the list there. So let's not, you know, downplay that side of it. That is very important. But getting good economic, social and cultural outcomes is just as critically as important. If we don't get good economic outcomes, we don't have the ability to fund some of those environmental gains that we're all passionate about.
Yeah, it's not a choice between environment and sackcloth and ashes, is it? I mean, it doesn't need to be that.
No, it doesn't have to be. It can be a both. And really it's about getting a good level of high-level regulation that sets some national direction. And then there's a lot that can be done in an unregulated way, which is done on a collaborative way, working in partnerships with our local communities, through catchment groups and so forth, and identifying what the environmental issues are and working together to solve them.
And am I right, over 2,000 RMA adjacent staff employed in the country, that's, I think, a cost of about 200 mil. That's not a small sum.
Yeah, yeah. So that's recently released data showing us that, we've got this high level of consenting process going on.
It's a machine.
Taking longer than ever to do them, but there's more staff employed to do them. So, yeah, it's just a reflection, I guess. You know, we've heard a lot about the expansion of bureaucracy in Wellington, but it's the same principle applying in our councils as well. It's a tying up a lot of resources, and that's money that's better distributed into actual environmental outcomes, which is what we kind of really want to see.
All right, and fewer new resource consents are taking longer. So it's not the best of both worlds at all, it sounds like to me. And I'm just, like I say, the dumb guy on the street. Good to catch up with you again, Mark Hooper, Federated Farmers, RMA Reform Spokesperson. You always put it so clearly. Thanks for that.
That's great. Good talking to you again. Thank you.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.